thank you. It is so great to be here. I've really missed seeing you, and I know that I missed some wonderful chapels last week. I'm thankful for my iPhone that I can download chapels, and so I will be catching up from last week's. Actually, in the week before, I've missed some as well. So I'm glad to be here, but I heard this morning that the speaker on Friday used the scripture in Jeremiah 18 regarding the potter and the clay. I was not aware of that, but I'm going to be speaking out of that scripture today. And then it was interesting that a student walking in had on a t-shirt that says, "Come to the potter's house." And so I'm beginning to think that the Lord must have a message for all of us out of Jeremiah 18. I have been traveling a good bit, and it's one of the responsibilities that comes with my position, but I'm particularly traveling a lot this fall and spring because Asbury College is in the final stages of a public phase of our capital campaign for the Communication Arts Program, and so that is a very specific reason why I'm on the road. I tried to get Dr. Troyer to come do his juggling act for us today, and I didn't have any success with that. And so then I tried to find a couple of Ellie and Molly Hasselhoff stories to tell, and I didn't get any place with that. So I think you're just going to have to be prepared for me to open up what the Lord's had on my heart today. Freshman Awakened class, I love your song, "Come Thy Fount." I have a Fernando Ortega CD in my car, and that's the first song on it. And I usually sing along with him about the first verse, and then I get distracted. And so I promise to know all of the verses by the time you're a senior. I'm going to learn this song with you. But it's a beautiful song, so it'll be good for me to have it as well. Well, what I want to do today is to open up for you a new way that the Lord is teaching me to use Scripture. And, of course, Scripture is one of our four cornerstones. But the way that he's opening up for me to use Scripture in a type of prayer. And so I will be sharing that with you today. During these jaunts and ventures that I have out around the country, we have been showing some videos. We've been showing some clips that have been produced by Asbury College. And one of those particular clips is Stolen Moments. Some of you may have seen it. You might remember it. It was produced by one of our alum, Jeremy White, and also one of our alums, Carl Spivey, is a character in this Stolen Moments little video, short video. I've seen it at least 30 times by now, but for some reason, at the end of each viewing of that, and it only lasts for a few minutes, but for some reason, I'm moved to tears every time I see this Stolen Moments story. Why would that be? Why would it be when I could quote it for you now? I know it by heart. But I think the reason that it is so moving when I see this story, and there are others that you can see over and over, and they are moving for you. I think some of the reasons why that these stories are so moving for us is because there are very personal aspects of the story. We see ourselves or we see other characters that remind us of folks that we know and love. We relate to the plot in some way. And so it is even with life. Somehow we discover that life is a story. And our story of life doesn't come to us as a laboratory or science experiment or as a math problem, but it comes to us scene by scene. And each of you are in a particular scene, a particular chapter, a part of your story, for the freshmen that have just come in, to the seniors who will soon be leaving, and for parents that we have visiting with us today. For each one of us, our life where we happen to be today is a part of the story that God is writing and has written and continues to unfold in our life. As I'm meeting many alumni and friends out across the country, one of the questions that I will often say to them is, "Tell me your story." Or for some of you who are new to Asbury, I will say, "Tell me your story. How did you end up at Asbury College?" And so we are about telling one another our stories. And let me just parenthetically say to you that as Asburyans, you are a part of a wonderful history and legacy. as I travel around the world and meet Asbarians. They are some of the most powerful, profound, dynamic, determined, courageous persons that I have ever met. You heard from Janine Brabon last week, and she is another example of an Asbarian. And so you are in great company. But our stories tell who we are. They tell why we are here, and they tell what we are to do. But in the midst of our story, we often have questions. We will have questions like, well, what does God have for me? Yes, sure, that's good for her or for him. I see that God's leading other people. He's speaking to other people. But what does he have for me? What should my story be? Or what does he want of me? In the context of what God is doing in my life, what is my role? What is the plot? Chesterton said, with every step of our lives, we somehow enter into the middle of some story, which we are certain to misunderstand. Now, perhaps the misunderstanding comes in that we find ourselves in the middle and fail accurately to recognize the beginning or what would be the end. But for us as Christians, we understand something of the beginning. We understand scripturally the beginning. In fact, two places in Scripture, the Lord says, in the beginning. This happened in Genesis when it's written that the Lord says, in the beginning. And then it happens again in the New Testament when Jesus is about to come on the scene. And so when John writes, in the beginning was the Word. And so we understand something of the beginning. But as Christians, we also understand that we are a part of a kingdom that has no end. And so we're not looking for our story to end and that be all that there is. But we understand that it really is a story similar to those childhood books we read that says, and they lived happily ever after. Because we are a part of this story that is an eternal story. Or perhaps some of the misunderstanding that comes in our looking at our own stories is that we fail to accurately identify the author. And when I'm referring to the author, of course, I am referring to the author with a capital A, the author of our life, the creator of our life, that he is good, that he is true, that he loves us, and that he is always with us. And so, as we think about these stories, the Lord's been teaching me some new things to help in answering some of these lingering questions, and I hope that it will be helpful to you. I believe particularly in our current screen age, when we do see so many images on screen and we are driven to screen so often, that it will be helpful for us to understand that we can step into the scriptural stories, and they then become a way of the Lord teaching us. What the Lord's been opening up to me is great power and truth in these scriptural stories. The ones that I remember reading as a child and continue to love today, of course, the story of David and Goliath or the story of Zacchaeus. They continue to have meaning and truth for us today. God's truth is not limited just to an event. The truth of the story of Zacchaeus is not limited to the fact that Zacchaeus climbed into a tree to see Jesus, but it is an ongoing story for us. The biblical stories reveal eternal patterns of truth, and the biblical stories reveal eternal patterns of scriptural and spiritual reality. Jesus himself used stories throughout the New Testament as a vehicle to teach and shape people's view of him. The messages of his word through parables are truly timeless. So let me show you and explain to you and share in the next few minutes some of what the Lord has been teaching me and showing me in the use of stories in Scripture. Early one summer morning, this past summer, I was sitting at my place of prayer, and that particular day, for some reason, and probably for no reason at all, I don't know that I have to have a reason, but for some reason that day I was feeling a bit weary and just needing the Lord to do a fresh new work in my life, to teach me and touch me in a fresh way. And I happened to be reading in Jeremiah. I was reading through the whole book of Jeremiah, and I had gotten to chapter 18. And that particular morning, as I read Jeremiah 18 and began reading in verse 1 through 4 about the potter in clay, I was prepared to move on through that chapter. I was trying to read a chapter a day. But the Holy Spirit really stopped me there and said, "Wait a minute. I want you to step into this story. You've just read the story that Jeremiah has written, but I want you to personally step into it." And so, you know, to really know someone, we have to be in their presence. It's not good enough for us to just read about someone. And so the Lord said, "You need to know me as the potter, and you need to know yourself as the clay. And so I want you to step into this story." Let me read it for you. Jeremiah 18, beginning at verse 2, actually. He says, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. I have known this story and read this story many times, but I had a new revelation, a new understanding of this story as the Lord asked me to step into it. And so I, in my heart and mind's eye, arose. He says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house." So there has to be a willingness for us to recognize our need and to get up and go to get to him. God is a gentleman, and he never intrudes where he's not welcome. And so he waits for us. He's always waiting for us, but he waits for us to come to him. And so he says, "Arise, go down to the potter's house." And of course, the potter is the Lord. "And there I will give you my message." And so he says, "Step into this story and you come to me, and I will tell you things that you need to hear. I will give you my message." And so Jeremiah says, "I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel." And that is so like the Lord, that we will find him if we will seek him. And Jeremiah says that in another place in Jeremiah. And so he says, "And so I found him. I arose, I went, and I found him there working at the wheel." This is the part I had missed for many years. In verse 4, it says, "But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands." And so the potter formed it into another pot. I think I've always thought of this scripture as the potter and the clay, and so I'm the clay, and he's forming me and shaping me, but I had never caught the fact that there was a vessel already formed, but it had some work that needed to be done on it. The vessel that he was holding in his hand was marred. And so he says from that, "I'm going to take this marred vessel and I'm going to reshape and remake you into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him." And that was exactly what I needed to hear that day, to say, "Lord, take me as I am, with my imperfections, with the cracks and the blemishes and all of those kinds of things, the rough edges that need to be smoothed out, and we all have them. I have more than my share. But we need to allow ourselves to be put into the hand of the potter, to take us exactly as we are and to shape and reshape, fill in, smooth out, and to form us as he would have us be formed. And so that day, I became the clay with the imperfections and found myself allowing him to remake me, to reshape me, to work on me that day, smoothing off some of the rough edges. Now, he still has some work to do. I remain an imperfect vessel. But I do so want to submit myself to his hand, to allow him on a regular basis to be working and shaping me. And do you know the result? Do you know what happens? What happens is then the next day, I went back to Jeremiah, was continuing through reading the book, but I went back to Jeremiah 1:18. I was willing and anxious and ready to be put to the wheel and saying, Lord, I don't want to move on. I want you to continue doing some work in me today. But now the secret for this to happen is that we have to be quiet, we have to be silent, and we have to concentrate on the scene so that it becomes life and it begins to move. And as it begins to move within us, then we become a part of the action. We're not just looking in. You see, it's so easy for us to read scripture as if we are looking in on someone else's scene. We are watching someone else's story. When the Lord is saying, this is your story. Be the clay in my hand. I'll be the potter. Allow me to work with you, to shape you. This opens up a whole living, growing meaning within us if we will allow our hearts and minds to be drawn into the reality of the passage. I got stuck on Jeremiah 18 for a number of days. I went back the next day and said, Lord, keep working, put me to the wheel. And then one day when I was ready to move on, he said, no, there's still more to happen in this scene, in this story. And there was a young man I've been praying for who was living with consequences of poor decisions, and so I had been praying over his life, and so the Lord said, bring him to me, and see me working on him. And so the next day then, that day in prayer, I began praying, seeing into this scene, and seeing God remaking and shaping him, moving and removing the rough edges, working within the bad choices he had made. Working to make him every bit new. As I saw this man remade by the potter, I saw him whole. Now, in a physical sense, he still has a way to go, but I see him in my heart's mind and eye as being whole. I encourage you to set out on this adventure, to read the Bible through, to go from Genesis to Revelation, not as a history book, but as a living reality for your life each day. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you through each passage so that you would know him better. I invite you to go with me as we think about the stories. I invite you to go with me to the Red Sea and to see the sea parted in your own life, not in the life of the Israelites, but you stepping into that story. I invite you to go with me and stand with Matthew at the customs table and to listen and find out if you were being called to follow Jesus as he called Matthew. Listen for the voice to come and call your name. Jesus will call you by name. He knows your name. And if you have not heard him call you by name, I encourage you to take the time to sit, be quiet, and be silent with all other distractions put aside, and to hear Jesus call you by name. It's not just Matthew that he called. It's not just Peter, James, and John that he called, but he calls you and he calls me. What do you think came to the minds of Matthew or Peter, James, and John as they stood and he called them by name to follow him? And so what comes to your mind as you hear him call your name? Or place yourself alongside the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler decided that the price was too big, was too high when Jesus called him to give all, to follow him. And he walked away. So as you place yourself in this story, as you step into this story of the rich young ruler, and it becomes your story, and Jesus is the main character of the story, but you are a character in this scene. Will you leave all to follow him, or will you do as the rich young ruler did? Or let's follow Jesus to the Jordan River and to try to see the heavens opened as John baptized him. Imagine being in that scene and being there watching all of the heavens literally open. God will open all of the heavens to us, just as he did when John was baptizing Jesus. He will open the heavens over us if we will step in to that scene, into that story, and allow him to do this. And so we see images of fire, of whirlwind, of despair and death, of resurrection and hope, of weddings and banquets, of the heavenly Jerusalem. We can find in Scripture, you can find and I can find in Scripture almost every avenue to victory over evil and a creative, fulfilling life if we will allow ourselves to be in that story and in that scene. Because in every one of the stories, in every piece of Scripture, God is the central character. He is the central character. Even in the story of Esther, you read the whole book of Esther and you do not see God's name, but yet it's so evident that He was there. And so it is in our scenes that God is in every story. He is the major character. If we are walking across campus, if we are studying, if we are asleep, if we are with our friends, if we're on the athletic field, if we are back home in our communities, God is the central character. And so we must never allow our lives to be stories in which He is not a part of that scene and that story. Augustine expressed a profound truth when he spoke of our hearts being restless until we can find our fulfillment in God. And in many ways, we are dependent upon the teaching of Holy Scriptures as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us from His Word, because it is through reading Scripture and the revelation of the Holy Spirit where we discover fulfillment. It's where we discover contentment. It's where we see ourselves well. It's where we see ourselves whole. It's where we see ourselves valued, where we see ourselves beautiful. It's where we can get up and walk to the next scene and know that all is well. As I did that morning after being placed in the Lord's hand, the potter's hand, and allowing Him to do a work in me, then I can walk away knowing that He has done something new and fresh within me. When you hear the voice of Jesus, you hear the voice of someone who cares about you, someone who speaks to your deepest problems and fears, one who heals your wounds and who restores your courage. The Holy Scriptures and allowing ourselves to step in to each story and scene there will open up to us a world where our eyes are open not just to ourselves, but they are opened to the world around us. God's Word becomes very real and it becomes very practical. It is not a history book, although we learn much of history and we have much to learn, but it is a living Word. God's Word is living and it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And so it is speaking to us today if we will allow ourselves to be in that narrative. The narratives of Scripture allow us to unlock the door of our soul and to let Him enter our current scene as He simultaneously takes us to the scene where He resides, to the scene where we see Him as the potter, to the scene where we see Him being baptized, to the scene where we see Him performing miracles. Now, we have just a few minutes left, and what I want us to do in these few remaining minutes of our time together is to get quiet before Him and for each of us in our own heart and mind's eye to go down to the potter's house. And so I would ask you, clear your lap of anything that's in your hands or on your lap. Let's get still and quiet. In fact, you're nearing midterm. You need to be learning to be still so that you can allow God's quietness to settle in upon you. I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to read this scripture again to you. And I encourage you to be the clay today in the potter's hands, to arise in your heart and mind, and go down to the potter's house. Visualize that. See Him sitting there. See Him waiting for you there. And there He will give you His message. He's sitting at the wheel. He's sitting there holding you in His hand. See yourself in His hand. And as you see yourself in His hand, see those kinds of struggles, of pain, of rough edges, of those things about yourself that you would like for Him to touch and to make whole, and then see him begin to work and to begin to allow his hands to shape you and to form you and to remake you, as Scripture says, shaping you and forming you into another pot, shaping it as it seems best to Jesus. Let's just sit in the quiet for these next few minutes as you sit with the potter. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that your word is life. It is light to us. We thank you, Lord, that you invite us to be with you in every scene, every step, every piece of our story. You desire that we would be walking with you and allowing you to walk with us. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of this wonderful passage in Jeremiah, that Jeremiah discovered that you are the potter and we are the clay. So, Lord, I pray for myself that you would help me each day to be willing to be in your hand and to be molded and shaped by you. I pray for each one in this auditorium, for those that are not able to be here, for those that might be watching on television or listening through podcast. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us daily to be allowing you to speak into our lives out of the hope and joy and blessing that comes only at your hand. And so, Lord, we invite the wheel. We invite ourselves being put to the wheel for you to shape us and transform us and to make us into all that you would have us to be. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you that you are who you say you are. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so just as you are the potter in our lives at this moment, so you will be tomorrow and the next day and the next. I thank you that we can count on you, Jesus, through thick and thin. We thank you, Jesus, that you are who you say you are. And we pray all of these things, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.